Interesting new legal twist in the AIDS issue for you this morning. A man is found guilty, right, of causing grievous bodily harm, criminal nuisance for knowingly infecting his partner with HIV. But in the Court of Appeal, his lawyer is now arguing with the treatments now available, it may mean that grievous bodily harm isn't being caused at all. So does he have a point? AIDS Foundation Executive Director Jason Myers is with us on this most interesting one. Good morning to you.
Good morning, mate.
Not the first case of its type, the knowingly infecting people, but does the treatment argument, you reckon, bring a twist that could bring some serious precedent here?
Yes, look, it's an interesting one. I wouldn't comment on the particular case, but essentially what it looks like you've got a defence lawyer trying to do here is form an argument around what has been a significant change in what an HIV diagnosis means for somebody's long-term health. Mm. Of course, back in the 80s, early 90s, it was a death sentence for many people, and I'm sure many of your listeners will have personal connections there. But the drugs came along in the mid-90s, and while they were very toxic at first, what you've essentially got in 2017 is a long-term manageable chronic disease, yeah, unlike many others people live with. So it seems that this is now before the court, and it will be very interesting to see where it lands.
So there's two stages to this, because yes, it is still a chronic disease, so you can still probably argue that knowingly infecting somebody should have some sort of consequence to it. But the next step will be, presumably, you would be hopeful of, the day if you get HIV, it is no more bigger deal than getting anything else you take some penicillin for and we're done. At that point, legally speaking, the whole thing changes, doesn't it?
Well, you know, that's obviously a matter for the courts, but yes, the argument is that, you know, the treatments are there. Of course, we don't want to undermine or underplay the impact of an HIV diagnosis on somebody's life. You know, there aren't only long-term health implications that are involved, but of course there's an enormous, you know, psychosocial impact and living with the stigma and discrimination. So we certainly don't want to underplay the meaningfulness of an HIV diagnosis, but it is true that it's perfectly manageable and that people living with HIV will live as long as somebody living with HIV, if they take care of themselves.
This whole concept of knowingly infecting somebody, how common is this, mm-hmm, and why? What drives it? What on earth is going on there?
Yeah, that's a great question, Mike, and I think it gets to a really important part of this conversation, which is that we know that the vast majority of people living with HIV in New Zealand take care of themselves and take care of their sexual partners. So we're talking about a very small number of individuals who may have potentially a whole range of issues going on for them that drive them to try and intentionally transmit HIV. And so these are some pretty severe psychological issues we're talking about here.
Yeah.
I think it's important to cover that in the role of the law, and particularly when we talk about stigma and discrimination, the law, and criminal law in particular, has a really important role to play in potentially increasing stigma and discrimination. So we're certainly not saying that the criminal law doesn't have a role to play, but we're saying it should be reserved for those very small number of cases where individuals are expressly trying to transmit HIV to their sexual partners.
We will follow the case with interest, Jason. Appreciate your time. Jason Myers, AIDS Foundation Executive Director, with us this morning.